I am unashamed. What about you?
All right, so welcome back to Unashamed Podcast. We have sent Jace out on assignment to find stories and do what he does. So he's gone today, and we gave Zach the day off too. So Zach, he basically taunts Jace with his vocabulary, and so I've sent him out to find a few more big words. Jace says that he's not intimidated by Zach's vocabulary, but I think that's a bunch of hooey.
Nothing about Zach is intimidating.
Well, that's what Jace says. So since you're in his chair, I guess, Stone. So it's interesting. So we got Stone and we got Sound today. So we're super excited about that. Well, welcome to Unashamed.
Pleasure to be here.
Always good to have y'all. So you're in Jace's seat. And that's interesting because one of our listeners, and I think, Alex, it was a female listener, wasn't it? So because there's always a lot of back and forth with Jace and Stone. You know, usually not together, but it's like you on your podcast on Duck Call Room talking about Jace, the fun sucker, and all this stuff. And so we have a lot of crossover listeners. And so they'll send us stories that Jay is talking about Jace. And so that'll pop up on here. Well, then we get Jace's rebuttal talking about Stone. So finally, one of our listeners said, well, you know, we just need to settle this. We need to have Stone come on. And then we just need to have a good old fight.
Head-to-head.
Just a head-to-head battle.
Yeah.
And we just need to, like a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And we need to have it on, and to have a simulcast on Unashamed and on the Duck Call Room.
Are we talking about a verbal battle or physical?
She wants a physical.
Okay, well, I can handle that, but I will lose every time in a verbal war with Jace Roberts.
Well, who wouldn't,
right? You're not going to win that.
No, that's exactly right, because who can argue with him?
Nobody.
Well, Scythe does a pretty good job with it. Yeah,
well, it's like arguing with a cypress stump. Okay. You ain't getting much from the other side.
That's right. And he would say the same thing about you.
And vice versa.
That's right. That's
speaking
right.
of Jace, I got a good story to kick us off. So,
because you're in the Jace chair.
I'm in the Jace chair.
It so tends to lend itself to it.
Phil, you would appreciate this. You've done what I did a few days. I've already told you. So Willie wants to restock his pond. And Jace is the reason for having to restock. So we get out there in a boat, and you know, y'all used to have that old phone back in the day. You'd crank that
ball bell,
and then the old catfish would come up. So
ball bell.
Dad would always say, Stone, he would say, because this was way back, statute of limitations has run out now. Dad would say, Al, we got to go make some long distance calls. That's the way he would tell me.
That's it.
Because we were speaking in code. And I knew what that meant to get the dip net, because we had to go do a little long distance calling. So that's what he would say.
Well, so Willie has already stocked 1,500 crappie in his pond. But they were hybrids, so they don't reproduce, so they don't overpopulate. So we get in that boat, and they have tentacles coming out the front of that boat. Generator, crunk it up. Well, we're going around the edges, shocking all the fish up. You know how many crappie we shocked up? One. In the whole pond, we shocked up 100 bass, one crappie.
And it was big bass, right? Because he put those big.
So they literally, Jace caught all of them.
Jace caught all but one.
All but one.
He's literally caught every crappie
and
out of that
pond.
He's
probably still been after that one for a while.
But he'll slip down there. I've seen him do it right before dark, where he thinks Willie's not watching. But Willie's watching. he literally caught every crappie out of there and ate them.
Well, the boy grew up fishing. Okay, so hey.
No, but
so now, he's pretty good at it.
Plus, he's doing it legally. He's got some kind of bait though now.
Oh, yeah. He got a jig pole and a jig, you know.
Yeah.
He's not doing it illegal.
So what's the problem? You had them all. They don't reproduce. Jace caught them all.
Well, the problem is they don't belong to him. they belong to Willie.
Well, when you blood kin within, you live within a few hundred yards of each other. No,
everything that God created is fair game.
Fair game, okay.
Fair game.
Well, except for one, there's one little minute detail here, though, because you have to pay for these You had to pay for these fish to stock them.
Yeah.
So at the front end, which, Dad, you can appreciate this, because you kind of had to get on some of this idea over here with the paying for the fuel to, you know, you did it for a long time. And then these last few years, you're like, okay, boys, we're all on this together.
Yeah.
At what point do we, like, do this together? Because it's the idea.
Your share. Where's your share?
So we're doing this together. Yeah. So I think that's the conversation Willie is now having with Jace on the front end. If we're going to enjoy the bounty. Yeah,
that came out of when the gas prices got up there about, diesel got up at $5-$6 a gallon.
Yeah.
That's when I started saying we need to come together here, this fuel is taking on new meaning. We're burning it up, another 500-gallon diesel, that's a pretty good lick.
We're enjoying the bounty together. We've got to enjoy the stocking.
Get your fuel bill, and it's $7,000 or $8,000.
But the problem is...
Just chase a duck or a deer.
Jace has now created this whole thing, because we've heard on the podcast many times, he's got his whole... courtship and marriage tied into these fishing exploits. Y'all hadn't heard all this. We hear it all the time. Dad and I hear it on the podcast. He's got his whole romance of Missy tied into going over and catching these fish and coming home, and then the cleaning of the fish, and it's a whole song and dance.
Hey, this is a big thing.
It is. It is. He makes it sound like Don Juan. I mean, you got some people buy flowers and cards and all this. Jace has this whole thing. It's like a, what do they call it? The aphrodisiac of crappie. And he makes this whole big deal about it. It's quite the story, the way he lays it out. So I don't know what he's going to do with that one crappie over there, because he's fixing to go lean for a while.
Those are pond-raised crappie. Back in the day when I was fishing for a living, I would have days about March, which is right now, you start noticing it. But if you got them hook nets up against too close to the bank, where they're just under the water, 4 or 5 feet of water, it's against the law to sell game fish like that.
Right.
Crappie. So I had to just dump them back. But if you started making a mountain out of crappie in the Wasatch River, you would have a mountain hundreds of feet tall. It'd be a couple hundred pounds, all crappie, prettiest things you ever seen. Just dump them right back out where you caught them, move the net out further where you're on the runs.
They would run the river back.
Time of year.
It was ridiculous.
They're going to spawn eventually, but no one had ever seen that many crappie. But in that pond raise, that's a little different deal there.
Yeah.
You can raise them out and catch them with whatever, I guess. If it's your own property.
Phil, just out of curiosity, when it's time to collect money for the fuel and everything, who's the most difficult to get the money out of?
Probably the ones got the most money. That's why they may have most of the money. y'all pick up that fuel bill for me. I'll check y'all later.
But Dad's got pretty good at reminding them, though. He reminds them pretty regular. I notice. What's funny is Dad will bring it up. I noticed, he'll wait till we get on the air. So he shames them in public. Then you got to do something about it, because he just mentioned it in front of a few hundred thousand people.
Hey, put him on the spotlight, boys.
That's exactly right.
Put him under the light.
Which is good.
But we do it all. It's not like anybody gets the tail feathers ruffled up about it.
No. Well, they got plenty of money. They need to chip.
Oh, yeah.
What are they going to do with it?
That's right.
Jay said he's mostly got size money from poker anyway. Yeah. So what are you going to do?
That's another one of his big tall tales.
He's got many tales.
He's good at it.
Yeah. So tell me about, since we've had you on, it's been a while. So y'all do a lot of trips and stuff. Y'all do any interesting hunting trips? I don't think we've talked to y'all since last hunting season. Did y'all go anywhere interesting?
Oh, yeah. Well,
or kill anything interesting? Because y'all usually do a trip or two.
Oh, yeah. We try to take as many trips as we can. Our favorite place to go is down in the marsh in Venice.
with Josh.
With Captain Galt down there. And you know, Si done turned into a deer hunter.
I know it.
He don't duck hunt anymore.
I know.
I duck hunted 3 times this year. Had a good time all 3 times. But, yeah. I mean, I've actually Stone's got me into deer management.
So you're a deer manager.
Yeah, I'm a manager now. You know, we just sit there and watch them. Well, you know, with the this year, you know, like, I don't remember when it was, but hey, we go and he says, okay, old man, there he is. You know, look him over and tell me if you're going to shoot him or what do you want to do? You know, and it was a pretty deer, pretty buck. You know, and I said, you know, I looked at him, you know, he's about 65, 70 yards. I said, well, Stone, you're not going to believe it. I said, I'm going to let him walk. He's not old enough. He's only 4. And hey, this joker was like this.
Oh, the biggest buck I've ever seen on this property.
Yeah.
He didn't kill him. Yeah. He let him walk.
And he told Willie about it, and Willie said, well, we'll let him hunt a couple more years.
That's right.
Since he said that.
He said, keep taking him.
The backwater's up right now, and it's pushing the deer out to the little higher ground. But I saw 3 different bunches of deer about a couple of weeks ago. Old Dan was with me. And the bunches of deer was like 25 to 40.
Oh, yeah.
Just all running together. But I didn't see any bucks. I mean, it was just a lot of deer. But the more bucks, horns have already dropped. But they probably, horns have already dropped. But I was looking, I told Dan, I said, it's been a long time since I've seen that many bunches with that many deer. A lot of little deer, like
one-year-old,
you know, from back last fall. But there was some deer out there. I mean, they were running in every direction. Water's got them all stirred up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Michigan like 2 weeks ago. You know, about 2 foot of snow on the ground. And like you're talking about, everywhere you look, there was 40 and 60 deer just, you know, just gathered together because of the snow. And then next thing you look, here's 60 turkeys, and they're on people's porches. You know, actually, you know, picking up breadcrumbs or something, I guess. I don't know, but they was in people's yard, on porches. I said, good grief.
They don't do that much down in here.
No.
Oh, no, it was wild. You know, just they was everywhere. You know, and I said, boy, y'all got a good turkey population up here and a good deer population.
You know what amazes me when Phil talks about when you first showed up down here, you could not find a deer track anywhere.
We didn't see any deer down here.
I was during college, my college days, that had been in the mid 60s, but leading up to 64, there was not a deer track in the woods. And I mean, we were people.
None.
We lived in the woods there. And if a deer had walked by and left a track, we'd find it, but no deer. But they started stocking them pairs and, you know, all over Louisiana. Went up north and got them, brought them back down here, and started just dumping out a pair here and a pair there, different parishes. And we just looked up in a period of about a decade. And I mean, it was like, so I guess all the pioneers, when they were going across, you know, unloading on these rivers, heading west, I guess I know they're bound to have been deer there, but they literally killed them all.
Hunted them out.
You know, we think about the buffalo, they were millions. And when they got done, I mean, it was just a pile of bones.
Because there wouldn't have been any kind of natural predator around here much, right, that would have taken them out other than...
Oh, they had a lot of predators on them. You know, they probably had big cats in, but, you know, but bobcats, whatever, coyotes.
But not enough to clean them out, though.
Not enough to clean them out. Oh, no. It was just a balance there.
Right.
But when they came across here, them pioneers in them covered wagons, I mean, they didn't leave many deer, that's for sure. I didn't see a deer in the woods until I was in college.
Hang on, let's...
There were no deer.
Hang on, Dad, let's take a break. So we got two veterans on our podcast today, which we thank you both for your service. It's interesting because both of y'all served at different times. And so it was a little bit different, Zy, when you served. People, I guess, were a little more anti-military back in your day? I mean, made it a little bit tougher. So how do y'all feel about, I mean, are you guys more appreciative of companies and organizations that are pro-veteran and pro-military? I mean, does that make you feel good?
Oh, yeah.
Especially USAI, I guess, more appreciative.
Because, you know, it, Phil's done, you know, sermons on it, that there's no, people are not thankful for what they have.
Right.
Not appreciative of how good they've really got it right here in the United States of America.
Right.
You know, because once you go to a, like a third world country and then see somebody that's, you know, you need to quit belly aching.
That's exactly right. Well, one of our sponsors is a group called Patriot Mobile. That's one of the things we love about them. I mean, not only we love that they sponsor our podcast, but they are very pro-veteran, first responder. They have great deals that, you know, that honor you guys, which we appreciate. They also support a lot of the things that we support. They know that Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in, you know, billions of dollars, but they trash what we love. And so they make it their goal to support what we love. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. No matter whether you support the other three major networks, you can get the best possible coverage by going with these guys. And so they're going to switch over for free, which we love that. So you can go with these guys and support Second Amendment, sanctity of life, military first responders, as we said. So they have 100% U.S.-based customer service team, makes switching easy. All you got to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Phil, or you can call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. You get free activation today when you use the offer code Phil. So we need to stand together, support companies that share our values. Go to patriotmobile.com/Phil or give them a call at 878-PATRIOT. Well, you know, it's the reason why that I never liked to deer hunt is because when I was growing up as a kid, I sat up and just froze my butt off and never saw anything for years. Like Dad would put me on the side of a tree. I would sit there all morning for however many days I sat there and never saw anything until he came and got me. And I just thought, you know what? This stinks.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever this is, it ain't fun. I don't want it. Just sitting out here freezing.
Same way my dad would drop me off, you know, an hour before daylight on a ladder with a board for a seat.
That's me.
It wouldn't pick me up till noon.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't see nothing.
Never saw anything.
And now I got my daughter, she sees 40 deer every time she goes. She's killing 180-inch bucks, you know, bigger than anything I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. It's fun for her.
Oh, she loves it.
I was going to ask get a BK update. What did she kill this year? Did she kill anything interesting?
She killed a hammer. She killed a hammer. 100.
She's usually with y'all. She usually does a hunt.
Well, we took her to South Texas this year. And she killed a giant.
And I actually beat her.
And then Si killed one bigger than hers.
Oh, that's rare.
He finally got the better of her.
Yeah, I finally beat her. Because Eddie, you know, the guy that owns land over there on High Fence, you know, he said, you know, I'd hunted. He said, your buck's coming to this stand. So we hunted it that morning. And look, I called it the Grand Parade. Okay, because hey, daylight comes up. It's four does under the corn feeder. Within the next 3 hours, I saw 60 deer. Okay, and 35 of them was bucks.
We're hunting in South Texas.
Yeah,
what they call the Golden Triangle.
Yeah, and these were just
giants.
You know, so we get back that day, you know, and we're sitting in the lodge waiting for breakfast, you know, and somebody says, "Hey, there goes a big buck toward the feeder down there on the lake." You know, and then somebody else says, "Yeah, that's the one that Eddie wants Uncle Si to shoot." So they, "Hey, I get on the scope and, you know, look at him." So look, this feeder's up on stilts, you know, and the deer has stuck his nose in it to get some food. I couldn't even see the feeder because of the horns. Okay, and I'm looking at Eddie and I said, "Eddie, have you lost your mind?" I said, "Hey, let somebody that's going to pay you shoot that buck." Right. Good grief.
This is a big guy.
Yeah, this is a big deer. You know, he said, "Oh, no, that's one you're going to get." So I hunted him for 3 days and actually got him. He was 28 points.
Wow.
Okay, he looked like a cactus. He looked like a cactus on top of his head, you know. And he's in the podcast room right behind me.
for all to see.
Oh, he was
he's beautiful, okay? Yeah. Just gorgeous. But
it was a very touching moment.
Oh, I like to cry when I walked up on him.
Well,
I'm serious. He was that pretty. I said, God.
I could tell Si was getting emotional. Now, he was a beautiful animal. I've never seen anything like it. So Si put his hands on him, got emotional. Then and then BK ran over there and started hugging him because she saw that he was getting emotional.
Yeah.
And I was watching that. And
BK was like Si's support animal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yes, you know, but it was a trip of a lifetime. You know?
That's awesome. Yeah, the point is, with management, that they have created a gigantic deer herd.
Well, not only that, it
started with stocking pairs in here. Yeah, and then that's right.
And then, like what we're doing here, what Stone's doing, is what people need to be doing. You cull out deer, you watch them. Like you said, Si, you wait and you let them grow. And, you know,
and it's actually really fun and it's actually really a good management tool.
And it's a lot of, it makes me feel good because I know that future generations will reap the benefit of all that.
Because you got to think about this. Last year we had 11 bucks on the hit list. Okay. I mean, Stone and BK have named them. And they're on the hit list. You can shoot this one, okay? Look, we killed every one of them last year, 11.
Yep.
And the great thing about it is, hey, everybody in the whole family got to shoot one.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Bella killed one. Jacob killed one.
Her husband, yep.
You know, just, you know, I killed a call. You know, BK killed a call. You know, Jay killed a call. Willie shot one. You know?
But you know what's even more fascinating, Dad? Is that 30 years ago, we never even, I mean, this land was owned by someone else, and we were invited to hunt over there just as guests, and eventually we were able to lease some of that property, and then eventually God blessed us, and you were able to buy some of that property with someone else, with Mac, and then eventually to buy all that property.
Yep.
Our family.
That's when Jason and Willie came in.
Exactly. And so you think about that. I mean, the Almighty opened up doors to buy it. Now we're able to manage it. And as Jay said, one day we'll all be gone. And so we're talking about great, great grandchildren will still be able to kill those deer.
The legacy.
The legacy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the beauty of it. That's the way the Almighty intended it.
If the government allows it, which these days I'm not sure. What the government's going to do.
Oh, man.
What did, who was it that said, if you can keep it? Was it Benjamin Franklin? Or one of them said, republic.
What do we have? A theocracy? And he said, a constitutional republic, if you can keep it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the trick, right?
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Which is, you know, that's the idea. The idea is that you can build something and then pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told him when I said, hey, the best thing you ever did was when you bought that first couple hundred acres. And then you just kept adding people you could afford it.
Well, the memories that have been made out there are priceless.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll carry those till they put me in the ground.
Yep.
And my goal is BK, her kids, do the same thing. So we've really been blessed. Well, it's been some good times had out there.
What are you talking about?
And that's the beauty of it. So, Si, you seem healthy. A lot of people ask us all the time, how's Si's health? Because, you know, it's been rumored you and Dad both have died several times on the internet.
I don't know why they keep doing that.
I jotted some down. Dad, you've been killed off less than Si. I don't know. For some reason, Si he's been Si has died in a car crash, a plane crash. He's been found unresponsive in the woods on several occasions. And then, of course, you didn't survive COVID either. And yet you're here today. So, praise God.
I can't tell you how many times people call, hey, is Uncle Si okay? We heard. You know, no.
I've literally had people come up to me at an event and say, I just wanted to tell you, just offer my condolences for Uncle Si. And I was like, well, I appreciate that. You know, he's still kicking, though.
He's still around. Like,
are you serious? I read where he died last year. I said, no, he's still going strong.
No, Uncle Si done got a second wind, though.
I've been in and out of prison
Yeah.
No. Yeah, we heard he's in jail.
Well, yeah. That was with all that CBD oil you were selling.
Selling CBD oil. You know, Jace is selling laptops now, I hear.
Yeah, Jace, he got in the laptop business. Somebody hacked his Twitter account, and he was signing MacBooks and selling them on the internet. And that was his most recent deal. Yeah. Which they still hadn't cleaned that up.
Oh, yes.
So, but your health is good.
Oh, yeah.
You've been doing well, which is a good thing.
Yeah, the only thing I got going against me is old age. It's creeping up on me, boys. Yeah.
His dad says the resurrection is looming large.
I'm telling you.
But that's true for all of us, right? Let's take another break. We have Lisa and Mom, Miss Kay. So, babe, we do a lot of pro-life speeches and traveling around the country. What would you say is kind of the biggest thing you see out there that we're trying to accomplish in our travels out there across the fruited plains?
I would probably say putting pro-love back into the pro-life arena and showing people that we actually care about the moms as much as we care about babies. And we care about those babies once they're born, and we care about the moms once the babies are born and supporting them, you know, all the way through.
Even post-abortive care, you know, when you can't always get that right decision, right?
That's
there's
right.
So many different things. And you're right, even adoption, we talk about that a lot in our family because that's a big part of the pro-life movement. One of the organizations that you and I have worked with, and you've even written, I think, in their magazine, is 40 Days for Life. Sean Carney's a friend of ours. And so these guys have been a sponsor of our podcast. And, you know, they just do great work. They have over 1 million volunteers. They're in 1,500 cities around the world. It's bigger than just the United States. They're the largest pro-life organization in the world. And they're really in the best position to help end abortion. They have 40-day peaceful vigils. They offer love and hope. As you said, they're trying to put more love in. They pray for young women and choices. They've helped close 132 abortion facilities in America. 45% of those were in liberal states. So we're really behind these guys, and we're excited. Sean's going to be back on the podcast soon, so we're excited about that.
He has some great resources, too, as far as his books and stuff go.
He does. And really kind of help discuss.
Right.
When you're talking with your friends. So I want you to check out their locations, their podcast, their free magazine that Lisa has contributed to, 40daysforlife.com. It's going to help you stay updated on what's going on with the life issues in this post-Roe America. So it's 40daysforlife.com. Check them out. So we had a 70th Christmas party for Chris, which is Corey's mom. And so Stone smoked a couple of briskets, which were excellent, and completely consumed, by the way, Stone.
That's what I heard.
Gone.
Yeah.
By the time the line passed through, two full briskets.
Big briskets.
It was impressive. And Willie said it was all the church people, but I was like, Willie, it started with your family because you're talking about some son-in-laws that can eat.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
they look like Greek gods. I mean, they're good-looking people, but I'm telling you, them boys can eat. But Willie had – he did the Slumgullions, Dad. He had three big old pots.
And you don't know what's in it.
I couldn't identify it.
The mulligan.
Now, they were delicious, but I couldn't tell you what they were.
Yeah,
it was just – chock full of stuff. I mean, it's so thick you can't hardly stir it with a spoon.
That's about the biggest pot I've ever seen.
There's three of them.
Here's what's so funny.
You mean they ate that too?
The last ones through were the Guatemalans that work for Willie because they always come in last. I don't know why they do that, but I guess they feel like they need to wait. And they were scraping the very bottom, getting what was left off the bottom. But it was all pots. Scrape clean.
He's funny to watch when he starts out, because he always starts out with a smaller pot.
Yeah, it has to.
And as he's going along, he's looked in the refrigerator and found this that he put into it. He looked in the freezer and he's found this that he's put into it.
Slumgullion.
Yeah, he's always y'all, here comes the bigger pot, a bigger pot.
Y'all. That's right.
And when it gets through, it looks like a army mess hall. The pot is this big around and this high.
I started trying to identify it by taste, what was in it. I started asking questions, but I mean, we ran out. I couldn't figure. You know, it was like, I thought I tasted cream cheese. No, that was sour cream. It was just, it went like that for about 5 minutes, and I finally gave up. You couldn't reproduce it.
Oh, but I smoked two giant briskets. They were huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got me a new smoker. It is fine too.
Is it bigger than the 30-gallon?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or it's bigger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So I wanted you to give an update, Jay, because people love it when you're on to talk about different things. Because I did a couple of things that I know that I've enjoyed, but there may be some I forgot. So one is you started smoking cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Which is delicious.
Yeah. Yep.
So, which is pretty simple, right? Because put cheese in the smoker.
It's real simple. You get your block of cheese, you get a pellet tube, you fill it up with pellets, light it. Close the lid and let her eat. It's called cold smoking. 3 hours.
Delicious. Because it just
puts a little
cheese
hint.
Gets that smoke flavor in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good. Tell us about how you did the pork belly burnt ends.
Ooh.
Now that's just filthy. It's so good.
So you take a
so
pork
I can't
belly.
Lose weight, by the way.
Pork belly, and I cut it up into cubes, about like that. What did I put on them things? Golly, I can't remember now. Well, I just put my rub on it and smoked that thing for about 4 hours and then took it out, put them in a pan, brown sugar, butter,
and you put
honey.
Sweet on it, yeah.
And put it back in the smoker, covered up, and let it render down. And, my goodness.
And you actually burn this a little bit. It's okay.
You think about bacon.
It's like
burnt crispy.
Yeah, it's like a crackling, like you eat a crackling, but they're not like real hard. Instead, they're softer.
Oh yeah.
But you got that same kind of fat render, but they're just, I mean, yeah. So delicious.
You don't have to have teeth to eat them.
Right.
They're candy.
Oh, yeah.
But we ate them. What?
Bacon candy.
You know, yeah. Nan was always looking for sales on meat, so she found pork bellies on sale and got about 8 of them, put them in the freezer. So
yeah.
We've been eating pork belly. It's fine, but you better have a lot of water to drink when you get done eating it. But yeah. They are good.
So Anna goes down there. She's so funny now. She competes. There's a handful of older people because everybody's looking for a deal. So she shows up at Brookshire's down there right at the bewitching hour, about 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
It's just her and about a handful of old people. Of course, she's got the jump on them because they're in them go-kart. They got to ride the motorized because they can't get around that good.
Yeah.
But Nan's still striding. She's young.
Yeah.
So she gets the jump on them to get to the reduced meat. They take that meat, you know, still great shape, but it comes out early and knock that price off, get it cheap. Yeah. And then Jay, he'll put it in the food saver.
Yeah.
And then he'll season it, put it in the food saver, and then put it in the freezer. But so we always are stocked up with, but it's great. Prime beef and pork, but man, you get it at such a cheap price. So, of course, Nan likes to save that money. You know, she's all about savings, but we're all about fresh and the good meats. We got a winning thing going here.
Well, that smoker's always going at my house. That thing.
It's kind of our neighborhood thing, so which is really good. So,
we got some ribs done at Miss Kate's.
Oh yeah.
Cook them this week.
Oh, I'm bringing you one of them smokers too. He sent one for
is
you.
That right?
Huh. They're highfalutin, high end smokers. Cotton gin smokers is the name of them. They are fine. Whoo.
Yeah.
But that one you got now, it's about time to be replaced.
Yeah.
But I'll come down and cook him ribs sometime this week if you want me to.
There was a guy last night that was over there eating. He said, "Who made this brisket?" And I said, "Oh, that's my son-in-law and ate that." He says, "Is that the one that lives next to you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Man, it must pay to have a guy like that around there." Because my guy said, "Every day.
Every day."
That's how you get a little girth on you there.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jay, tell us about your jiu-jitsu news because you own a school. And so you just had a recent upgrade, which was pretty cool.
It was quite the event. You know, I have three daughters. And a wife, So I need a lot of therapy.
Oh, yeah.
And this is
mental and physical.
So instead of going to a psychiatrist, I go up to a gym every evening and take a butt whooping. Take multiple butt whoopings for the most part. So that's my therapy. It's very therapeutic for me. It keeps me in check, you know, because if you had pride issues, you go to a jiu-jitsu academy somewhere and you won't have those anymore. You will lose every bit of your pride because you realize real fast that you ain't near as tough as you thought you were.
Bad. You ain't as bad as you think you are.
You get your butt whipped by a 140-pound woman. You go back to the drawing board. Well, maybe I don't know, you know what I thought I did. But anyway, it's a
defensive discipline. Is that the best way to put it?
It's grappling. Chokes and arm locks, and it's
and the guy that came up with this particular, because there's different styles, I guess, is from Brazil. Is that right?
Yeah.
Originally,
yeah. I think he weighed 140 pounds, little guy.
And there's a lot of, so they do a lot of like women's self-defense classes, mm-hmm. a lot of police take part in this. So it's a lot of, there's a lot of really good things out of this other than, you know, just, I mean, it's obviously it's good just for your own psyche and discipline and stuff like that. But it's really, I mean, you do a lot of good community stuff mm-hmm. too.
I started a couple of years ago and made some really good friends through all of it. And, but that woman I was telling you about, her name is Mallory. She's the reason I got my girls into it.
Yep.
Because once I realized this woman, if a man thought he was fixing to take advantage of this woman, that man is fixing to be crippled for life. Because she can do whatever she wants to do and has no fear. And so I wanted that for my girls. So I got my eight. Now you got to watch it though, because
eight-year-olds. Hey, yeah, his daughter, seven, Sage. Okay, Carly's boyfriend, old boyfriend. Okay, he's a 17-year-old, pretty husky little dude. Okay, Sage comes running in. He's on the couch, jumps up behind him and puts him in one of them guillotine chokeholds. Okay, he has got a phone in his hand. Okay, the phone drops out of his hand, and he's fixed it. Stone was looking at his stuff. Let that boy go, Sage. He was this close to passing out.
He was in the process.
Oh, he did lose consciousness for about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
He dropped his phone. Then he looked up and said, what happened? I said, you got choked by an eight-year-old. What happened?
Yeah. Rear choco.
Yeah, but I watched him, okay, and I'd watch him, you know, Stone would be showing somebody, here's the choke, you know, to get out of the – Yeah, and I said, I noticed one thing right off. I said, this has got nothing to do with strength. Mm-mm. This is all about technique and knowledge of what
That's
you're
right.
working
strength
with.
Strength helps. But the main lesson that it gives people is how to stay calm in a very stressful situation.
It should help with their discipline, too.
Oh, no, it does. It does. Discipline and endurance. Okay, I watched him. Me and Philip went and watched him when he got his belt. Okay, and there was about what? How many people?
But 27 in the class.
27 in the class. Okay, so hey, it's his night. Okay,
he takes on all.
All 27 of them. Okay, and there is no break. There is no rest. No. All 27 of them. Look, you think? Well, okay, we'll let the scrub start first. Oh, no. Top guys
with start. The black belts.
Yeah, with the black belts and all this, they'll start. And I just finally, after 2 hours of it, I just couldn't take no more. I said, don't. I'm going to enjoy it, but I got to go.
Oh, it was brutal.
I can't take it anymore.
Okay. It's hard to watch.
Yeah. Well, somebody said, are you going to do this? I said, no. I said, I've watched them warm up. I said, I already been dead just from the warm up. Got to die.
Well, there.
Hang on. Let's take another break.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit FearlessArmyRollCall.com to secure your spot.
Oh, it was rough.
Yeah, but so you earned your blue belt.
I got started late in life. You know, I'm 47, and like I say, it's good therapy for me. But it keeps me in shape, and it teaches me a lot of humility, and keeps me in check. I'm very passionate about it now. So I have new goals.
Yep.
Set. You know, at my age, which is pretty neat.
It's very impressive. Yeah. Okay, it really is.
But that belt test came after about, I'd say roughly 700 to 800 hours of training. And then once the professor deems you ready to test for your next belt, in my case, I went from white to blue. And in the white to blue curriculum, there's 88 moves that I had to demonstrate before the Shark Tank. Si was there. He saw the 88 moves, and then he saw about half of the Shark Tank, which is everybody taking turns on me, 3-minute rounds with no breaks.
And when they're not wrestling, when he's not wrestling somebody, he's got to do push-ups or sit-ups or something.
Yeah, so there's 1 minute in between each round that I was doing calisthenics. Yeah.
In the world we happen to live in now, that would come in handy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
And it gives me a little peace of mind that my girls are, if they at least have a plan. If something happens.
Well, and then that's my observation of it, just from kind of being on the outside, but being on the inside of the family, is that it's been really good for Jay in relationship with the girls and terms of spending time with them. But then also, like he said, just the psyche of it.
Well, there's a lot of discipline involved.
No.
Well, right. And they learn that, but then they also learn that, I mean, he is able to deal with them because, like, he's got one dating. And look, it's drama. Teenage girls and dating.
Oh, no, no.
I raised two myself.
Oh, no.
That ain't easy. You raise one.
Yep.
You know, dad didn't get a daughter until 3 years ago, but I'm saying daughters are different. And even dad, you've noticed it from the sense of even having a grown one.
Oh, yeah.
There's just drama with daughters.
A lot of drama.
And then also Jay has a bit of a child prodigy in the sense that Sage she's good at it and she's young and she's going to be really good probably just because she's learning everything at a young age.
Well, no, it's not only that. It's helpful with the mental attitude of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I mean, I was sitting there one day. He'd invited me for a meal, sitting on the couch. She comes in and just squares up right in front of me. I said, "Uncle Si." I said, "What?" She said, "You want to wrestle?" And I said, "No, Sage, go outside. I don't want you hurting me. Get.
You want to wrestle.
You want to wrestle."
You know, because, say, hey. Like I said, it's about technique, okay? Because my doctor done it, okay? Hammond was in, and he was giving me a physical, okay? And he put his, checking my artery, okay? Well, he put his thumb, and he had it on my artery, and he pushed. And it was in between two vertebrae of my neck. And, hey, I just, this pressure point stuff, it works, trust me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because it scared him. He said, "Oh, my goodness, do I need to take you?"
You might ought to tell him practice on somebody else.
No. I told him. I said, "No." He said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "I'm fine now that you took your finger or my thumb out of my vertebrae." I said, "You just shut off my oxygen and blood supply."
He was just getting his pulse checked, Phil. Yeah. His doctor's just checking his pulse.
Hey, he had it right.
Well, It may not be quite as difficult to take you out.
This thing about Spock used to walking up behind on Star Trek, and that works. Okay.
What did he do, Alistair?
Yeah, the Vulcan nerve. Yeah.
Speaking of Star Trek, did
all right, hang on. We
got
to do this.
Oh, yeah, I've got a good one.
Okay, so we got our last save. Let's take a break.
Yeah, you'll like it.
All
right, so our last segment, we got it, because I was going to ask you, it's a shameless plug, I guess, for myself, because I know you like my preaching, but so I was going to ask you if you heard any good sermons lately. So I want to hear, you said I preached this last Sunday.
Yeah.
And so you got a thought out of it. Between my sermon and Star Trek, you got something you want to
know. I got a new way of looking at, you know, like Jason started years ago when he was teaching the teenagers at White Ferry Road. And he had told them, he said, close your eyes, you know, told the class, close your eyes. And when I say the word God, what picture is in your mind? You know, how do you see God?
I remember him saying, he said that on the podcast.
Well, anyway, so look, my wife has been slashing the TV, everything we got on TV. She's cutting it, you know, to get the money down. She finally found a new channel, and it's a new Star Trek on this channel. Okay? She got new stars and everything, you know, got a different spot, Captain Kirk, all this. But anyway, so she said, oh, I got to show you this. And I said, what is it? She said, I just seen Willie on television on Star Trek. And I said, really? She said, yeah. So she goes through it and brings it up. And this guy looks enough like Willie, but hey, he's about 50 pounds heavier. Okay. And he's got real long hair, got a big long wig on. But it is Willie, because I just died laughing. I said, I got to tell Willie this. And I did the other day. But anyway, but you're talking about the sermon. Your sermon Sunday got me thinking, and I was watching Star Trek, and they pull up, and there's a nebula, and it's just a gas cloud. You know, and I got to thinking, and I said, well, I said, hey, how about this? I told them on my podcast yesterday. I said, hey, we're going to go heavy. I'm gonna give you some ways of how to describe God. You know, I said, because Jason asked his kids in class, you know, what comes to mind when I tell you, you know,
what picture?
Show me, give me a picture of God. Well, hey, how about a nebular cloud, a gas cloud with, okay, intelligence. It ain't nobody. But there, you know, the guy asked, you know, asked Spock, what do you sense? And he said, hey, I sense there's a brain, it's intelligent life in that cloud. You know, so that was one of them. And I said, well, here's the thing. I said, here's another way of describing God. He's pure energy because he's everywhere all at once. So God is actually pure energy.
That's true.
I said, because the Bible says, okay, Jesus is the light of the world. Yeah. You know? And I said, light is energy. Yeah. You know? And then I said, well, here's another way to do it. Consciousness. A consciousness of something. Okay. Or a awareness of something. You know, because people said, I felt your presence. You know, somebody walks up behind you and says, you know, I didn't hear you, but I felt you. You know, so that's one of the things with your lesson the other day about, okay, you know, the evil one used to control us by the fear of death. Well, hey, Jesus took care of all that. Okay, when he died and then rose from the dead and ascended bodily back to the Father.
No fear of death.
Ain't no fear of death.
Right.
You know, there's nothing scary about it anymore.
Right.
You know, Jesus said this, hey, since I did it, guess what? I will do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture says, hey, you even if you die, you won't die. You know, so that's what I'm, you know, hey, just it's a different way of looking, because if you ask somebody, hey, show me this God. Draw me a picture of this God you're always talking about. Yeah. Well, now you can give them kind of, you know,
the different aspects. Yeah. I like that. Well, in the second thing I said is you're never alone. To your point.
Yeah.
Because you're part of now. You're a son, not a slave. Yeah. And I went to Romans 8 because he said since you have the Spirit of God, His presence, always in your life. And again, that's something you can't see. But you know he's there because he said he lives inside you. So you're never alone ever again. So you never worry about being abandoned. You're not a slave. You're a son. He called it the spirit of sonship. And so not only do you never have to worry about death, but you also never have to worry about being alone. You're never alone. You know, you can be on a deserted island. If you have the Spirit of God, you're not alone. You're a part of the family of God.
Well, another thing I was thinking about, okay, is like you were talking about, okay, you're not alone, okay? But the scriptures tells us, okay, I wrote it on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all the good stuff that God has to offer for the human being, we've got that. I really don't have to read this, but I should, because he told me that, hey, I've written all that on your heart.
Yeah.
That's why when you say, okay, you know, you got a choice, right or wrong, you know it's wrong.
Right.
Because he's told you it's wrong.
Plus, you can see the change in people's behavior.
That's right.
Do you look at the fruit that they're bearing and you're like?
Well, no, that's why I was saying I'm hung up a lot on right now on the fruit of the Spirit. You know, because I'm the goodwill ambassador of you know, flowersgeneral.com, okay? And you'd be shocked once you look, Google it, and see all the stuff, how flowers and the fruit of the Spirit go together. The rose is the love, okay? A red rose is love, and that's back in the Roman time, okay? White irises, flowers, are purity, okay? And they're just more and more and more, you know, because Alice Gibbons Googled that, because I told her when she said, okay, I want you to be my goodwill ambassador for this, and I said, okay, but here's what I want to do. Whether you send one rose out or 50, I want a scripture to go with every one of them. You know, and it was surprising. And like the God, you know, God talks about flowers a lot in his Bible, in mm-hmm. his word.
Yep.
Okay, look at the lilies of the field. You know, they don't do nothing, but hey, they're arrayed. Look at the beauty they are.
Al, you need to get you one of those Goodwill ambassador gigs.
Yeah, I do.
How do you go about getting that, Si?
Look, okay, I had nothing to do with it. People come to me and said it, okay?
You got to be Uncle Si to get a gig like
but
that.
But I'm just
right.
saying.
That's right.
You know. No, in fact, when Si first told me about it, we were talking about some scriptures, and my first thought was that we are the aroma of life.
No.
And I thought about that because, you know, most flowers smell good.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought about that in Christianity. You know, that's what we are. We're the aroma of life. And, you know, you put a bouquet of flowers here in the middle of this table, they smell good. And to people who are looking for the fragrance of life, we smell good. Unfortunately, it also says we're the smell of death to those who don't know what we know, which is interesting.
Well, no, because like when you're talking about the fragrance, okay, and not only that, flowers set a mood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be in a sad frame of mind. Somebody brings in a beautiful bouquet of flowers and sets it in front of you.
That's right.
It lifts your spirit.
That's right.
Okay? And then if you like that and say, oh my goodness, the aroma that's putting out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, have you noticed about flowers is they tend to reflect a person's personality. Like I noticed when we came home from a trip and Anna had a birthday a couple of weeks ago. So I walk into her kitchen and I look on her countertop. And how many things of flowers?
Five or six
yeah. things of flowers. And I was like, good night, ma'am. And I said, what was the deal here? And she said, well, people kept sending me flowers for my birthday. But I thought that was not on accident. That was because her personality impacted people to the point they were like, you know what? I'm going to send her some flowers. I mean, not everybody else gets five things of flowers. Yeah. That was because she had an impact on people's lives, and she does good by them. And so they thought, you know, I'm gonna send her some flowers. Yeah. And so
one of those was Alex called me, her sister.
Yeah,
your other daughter.
Yeah,
it said, "Would you like to get your wife some flowers for her birthday?" I said, "Sounds good.
Sounds good. Good
Make
call.
That's somebody looking
yeah.
out for you.
Yeah, that's good right. call. Good call.
She happens to be in the room today too, looking out for you. Which that's why we have a compound living, Si. That's what we call that. Well, man, that was a fast podcast. That went by fast, which means it's a good thing. It means it's been too long since we had y'all on. So we're gonna get y'all to hang out in overtime, and we'll talk a little bit more about Si's sermon idea. I like that, and we'll chat a little bit more about that. It's good to have y'all on. We appreciate it. Anytime.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.